You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And if you want to follow him along wherever he goes, and I have no idea, but that's his business. But we'll have the Bibles for you. And then if you would put them on the back table when we're through tonight, not leaving down here in the chairs, then our people won't have to go to the trouble to get them. So anyhow, we got some special music coming right now. You're going to introduce us. Ms. Dolores. She always does a great job and sings some great old songs. All right.
His hip went out yesterday, and he's home today, tonight, under with ice packs surrounding.
Tell him to get on up here.
He didn't think he could get down or up again, and he did work today, yesterday, so that's where he is.
Okay.
So pray for him.
Okay.
But he doesn't have to have a hip replacement, too.
Oh, goodness, he just had a knee replacement.
I know he had a knee replacement, so that made the hip go crazy.
Boy, I hope I don't end up like that when I get old. Man,
you do.
Yeah. Man, anyway, Miss Dolores.
In this age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not tomorrow, God is all. Charting the course you'll take, he sees each hidden snare. He's waiting to guide you through each burden and care. Fear not tomorrow, God is already. Is your future unsure? Are you dreading the coming days? Days you hate to endure? Fear not tomorrow. God is already there. He's charting course you'll take, he sees each hidden snare. He's waiting to guide you through each burden and care. Fear not tomorrow, God is already. Many things
Great song. I want to introduce Jimmy Dennis. I met Jimmy. I've been in Odessa since 1984. 32 years ago, and I met Jimmy, I guess about the first year I got in here at the Christian Businessmen's Luncheon we used to have over here. I can say about Jimmy, I think the greatest compliment you never make to a preacher, he hadn't changed a lick. He's still the Jimmy and all of his fire and spizzerinkdom that he had 32 years ago. He's still doing that. And just keeps growing and building in that. His son-in-law is the director of Freedom House, and their church, Dream Center, underwrites most of that church. They started, their church underwrites Freedom House. Yeah. Freedom House, the place that parolees and drug addicts and etc. can come, and they'll take care of you. Not only will they take care of you physically, they'll teach you how to get to heaven. And that's the best thing you can give anybody, how to get to heaven. Anyway, if you're going to need a Bible, if you raise your hand now. Two of the guys from Freedom House will pass them out to you. And while they're doing that, Jimmy, you come on, brother. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, God is good. Amen. I tell you, I've known this guy a long time. We hadn't always agreed, but we've always loved each other. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, how many of y'all need a miracle in your life? Let me see your hand. If you need a miracle, I want you to raise both hands. We're going to pray right now, and I want you to receive what God has for you tonight. Amen. Keep them up. Keep them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the miracle worker. And Father God, we've come tonight to receive, Lord God, that we could know you, worship you, praise you, and receive what the Word of God says we can have. And Father, tonight we give our lives to you totally. Father, that we can receive that miracle that we need in our lives. Some here, Lord, need a miracle in their body physically. Some need financial. Some need one maybe with the court system, God. But you are the miracle worker. And we give you praise right now for what you're going to do in this house. Lord, we receive tonight, and we pray, God, that everyone here will open their hearts and their minds to the Word of God. And Lord, you impact their lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I tell you what, I believe that God's a miracle worker. I know He is. My wife's been married to me 50 years. Anybody can put up with me for 50 years, something's going on, I can tell you. Praise God. She has to be able to have a miracle from God because of what I do and the things that the Lord has led us to do. But I'm excited about Jesus. In fact, if you're really a born-again child of God, you're excited about Jesus. Amen? I see a lot of people, they say they're Christians, but their face don't show it. I think our face and our actions alike ought to show it. Amen? So tonight, we're going to be going to the Word of God. And I told Leland a while ago, they think I can't preach to get y'all out of here by 8. And I don't want you asking Bill and whatchamacallit back there about it either. Lord, I tell you what, God's so awesome. We're going to the book of Hebrews. We're going to the book of Hebrews. But I want to make a statement to you before we start really into the Word. God's not looking for good people. He's not looking for religious people. He's not looking for people that just go to church. He's not looking for people that say, well, I'm a good person. He's looking for people that say, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? Anybody can go to church. In fact, I had a young couple one time. I was preaching on Grandview. I've done hundreds and hundreds of outdoor rallies, and I was preaching on Grandview. And this young couple come busting into my bus and said, "What's the matter, premarital sex and smoking marijuana?" I hadn't mentioned either one of them. But I said, "Let me ask you a question." I didn't answer their question. I just asked them a question. I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Do you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be Lord of your life?" I said, "Because if you don't want that, I can give you a list of stuff a mile long you probably ought to quit doing. And you quit doing them all, and you go join every church in Odessa, Texas, and go straight to hell." Because it isn't about what church you go to. It isn't about the good or the bad that you're doing. It's about your relationship with Jesus. Of course, they turned around and walked out. I don't guess they liked my answer. But it's not about not doing drugs or alcohol or, you know, using foul language. It's about that relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants to give you abundant life tonight. How many of you want abundant life?
Amen.
Say, "Father, I receive abundant life tonight." See, sometimes you got to really get involved with what God's doing. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, though, chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 12. I preached some of this message Sunday morning, and I entitled the message, "The Triple Threat." But I want to share with you tonight things that will destroy you, your family, your relationship with God. And I trust that many of you are Christians. You may be struggling, but you're Christians. You've received Christ. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first." And then it finishes up here in verse 15. It says, as has just been said, today," everybody say today.
"Today."
It says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." It's not about tomorrow. It's about what are you doing today. Because number one, none of you is guaranteed the next 15 seconds. What are we doing today to walk in Christ? And I want to share some real things with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I preach a lot strictly out of the Bible. I don't have a lot of stuff I add to it. It's the Word of God that makes the difference. It's not what I think or say. It's what the Word of God says. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 12. He says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If you think you are standing firm, you think you got a hold on it, you better be careful." He said, "Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." I hate to inform all of you, none of you are unique. Your situation isn't unique. You may think it is because you're the one in the middle of it. But there's not a situation in here that's unique. I had a young boy come into church one night with his mother on Wednesday night. He said, "Man, I kind of feel out of place." I said, "What for?" He said, "I just got out of jail." I didn't say anything. I just let it slide. About 15 minutes into the service, I said, "How many of y'all been in jail or prison?" About 70% of my people raised their hand. I said, "Dude, you're in the right place." But there's no temptation. And all of us have been tempted many ways. And that's what keeps us pulled down. We give into the temptation. But no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. I say, God is faithful with me. Oh, yeah, He's faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear or what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. How many of you right now, you've been going through temptation and trial? Let me see your hand. Whenever I go out and minister at the county jail, and I go out there every week, along with Leland goes out there, I get in the law library, and I'll tell him, I said, I'm going to tell you something now, man. We're sitting in the law library, and I said, I'm going to tell you. Here in a few minutes, there's going to be somebody walking that door with a 357. They're going to blow your brains out. That's a good story, ain't it? I said, but if you walk out this door over here, they won't get you. But instead, I'm just going to trust God. And you sit there and they blow your cotton picking brains out. And you're standing before God and you say, God, what did you let that happen for? He said, I didn't. He said, I gave you a way out and you didn't take it. See, our problem is that we have a blame game. We want to accuse everything. That's like in my own life. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother was a Christian. I had a choice to make. Just because my dad was an alcoholic doesn't mean I have to be. I don't have to let my past dictate my future. I don't have to let the temptations that come along dictate what I'm going to do in life. But no temptation that's taking you is common to man, but God will provide a way out of it so that you can stand up under it. Amen. And you know, that's the good thing about God. He's so awesome. We know we live in a real world. We know we have real problems. In fact, every one of you, when you walk out this door tonight, you're going to have problems. There's been a thought for years, and I don't have any idea where it came from. If you'll give your life to Jesus, man, everything just be smooth sailing. I don't know what kind of lie they're talking about. But I can assure you, brother, when you step into the kingdom of God, you step into a place where hell's going to break loose. But we have a God that's already overcome. Amen? And that's the beauty of God. Oh, we're all tempted, tested, and tried, but we live in a real world. But praise God, we have a real God. And I want you to look with me for just a moment in Matthew chapter 4. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to really speed through this because I want to get this in. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. When was He led? As soon as He was filled with the Spirit. He didn't get filled with the Spirit and all of a sudden, man, all this power and glory and everything. No, as soon as He was filled with the Spirit of God, He was led into the wilderness. There He fasted for 40 days. How many of y'all would be hungry after missing one meal? Most churches can't get their folks to fast three meals. In fact, my son, while he's preaching, talks about food. He's ready to go eat now. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. Duh. The tempter came to Him and said, if you are the Son of God. Wow. So many times, if you're really a Christian, if you're really a Christian, you can do these things. But He said, if you're really the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Him to the holy city and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, He said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hand so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered Him, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, He said, if, man, that's a big word in the Bible, if you will bow down and worship Me. You see, that's what's happened to us and to anybody else. If you will bow down and worship the devil, he'll give you whatever you want. But I got news for you. The devil hates your guts. He wants you to fall. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to go to hell with him. It's not going to be a party in hell. It's a real place. He said, all this I will give you, He said, if you will bow down and worship Me. Jesus said to him, away from Me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended Jesus. Wow. You see, the thing about it is, Satan will look at whatever element he can to get you to fall. He'll try this, and if that doesn't work, he's going to try that. He's going to use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's going to find somewhere where you're weak. But in that weakness, you become strong when you trust God. Jesus said, because I have overcome, you shall overcome also. Oh, we all fall down. We all bite the dust. It thrilled me the other day whenever I was watching the Olympics. The ladies were running, and I think it was a 400 meter. And one of the young ladies' knee gave out, and she fell down. She tried to get back up, and her little old knee just flopped like that, and she fell down again. But what happened was the amazement part. There was another runner stopped, picked her up, and helped her through the finish line. And you know what? That's what your brothers and sisters are for. Whenever you're tempted, whenever you're going through a test and a trial, you go to your brothers and sisters and say, I need help. Will you help me? I need to get back up. All of us have those times when we're tried and tested. I was visiting with a guy out there at the jail today, and one more time, he was out there. I said, you know what, you're just like most of these people out here. Every time you get in here, you swear up and down, you're never coming back. And then sure enough, a few months later, you're back in here. Why? Because you didn't change your life. There's got to be a change in our lifestyle, and not just in what we do, because you can be the best person in the world and still be lost. But when you know Jesus Christ, he said, if anyone's in Christ, I'll make you a new person. I ask my people once in a while, I said, how many of you are born again? Of course, most of them raise their hand. I said, was there a change when you got born again? I said, because if there wasn't a change, you're not born again. There's a lot of people pray a little prayer, but until we sell out to Jesus, there's no difference. A prayer doesn't save anybody. Giving your heart to Jesus saves us. John 10:10 says the thief comes to do what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I can assure you, some of y'all have great aspirations maybe about becoming a star or a musician or whatever. Satan said, if you bow down to me, I'll give it to you. Not knowing he's going to give you hell. There's a lot of your movie stars and a lot of your musicians started out in church. They started out singing praises to God. And because they became popular and they began to do the things of the world, they bit the dust and many of them committed suicide. Is it worth it? No. But see, the end of that verse is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I am come. Jesus said, but I am come. So you can have life and have it abundant. I don't know about y'all. I kind of like that abundant life stuff. I like that part where God said, if you'll trust me, you'll walk with me. You'll give your whole heart to me. I'll take care of you and your needs. And when you go through the trials, I'll be there to pick you up. I'll walk along with you. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I never leave you alone. Wow. Man, with something like that. And I'm going to tell you three things, and you can write these down. Three things that will destroy people's lives. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your marriage. One of them is sex. Everybody say sex. See, we don't like to say that in church. That's voodoo. No, until the church starts talking about sex the way the Word of God says it, we're going to go wrong anyway.
That's right.
I was reading some statistics the other day that about 65% of the men look at pornography at least once a month. And then they wonder why their families are screwed up. The reason is because that man is not making love to his wife. He's making love to that woman in that picture.
Right.
And what we've got to do, we've got to get that turned off, fall in love with Jesus, and let Him be Lord of our lives.
Yeah.
You can't ever justify that. You can't withhold with your husband or your wife and say, I'm punishing you. No, because then you're going against the Word of God. He said, drink often from your own well. Number two is religion. I can guarantee you religion will destroy your family and destroy your relationship. I had a deputy ask me one day, she said, Jimmy, how do you know when a right man comes along? I don't know, I'm a man. How would I know that, you know? I don't look at men, okay? But I told her, I asked her two questions. I said, let me ask you two questions. I said, are you a Christian? Yeah. I said, is he? She said, well, I said, you just answered my question. If you've got to think about whether he believes like you believe, you need to leave him alone. Because there's more arguments and more divorce over religion probably than anything. It brings this devastation in your family. And the third one is money. You've got to be a good steward of the things of God and what God blesses you with. And you can't argue about your finance because the devil will get in your family and he'll destroy you. That's why I've been married 50 years. Been in ministry for 52 years. My wife takes care of the checkbook. I don't ever argue with her. She takes care of the bills. I preach. You know why? Because I trust her. If you can't trust that partner of yours, you got problems. You both need to get right with God. But the reason that I felt like I needed to say those things, because it's destroying the church, it's destroying people's lives. And tonight, Jesus wants to be that abundant life in your life. And I don't know about you, I would do anything for somebody, because my heart breaks whenever I see people struggling. I see them walking away from God, I see them walking away from church. And the reason is because they haven't yielded to the Holy Spirit and said, God, I surrender. I surrender. As long as you're holding on to something in your life, Satan has a hook. But once you release it, that hook's gone. Once you surrender, you say, Father, forgive me. I'm sinning. That hook's gone. Let's get rid of those hooks tonight. Amen? I want you to bow your head with me for just a second. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to touch your life in a mighty way. He's the miracle worker. He's here tonight to do a work in your life. If you want to be totally surrendered to the Lord, I'm not asking you to come down because I want you to join this church or be religious. I'm asking you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Say, God, I sell out to you. I give my whole life, my body, my soul, my mind, everything to you, Jesus. I surrender to you tonight. I surrender to you tonight. If you want to do that, if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, totally Lord of your life, where He has control, I want you to stand to your feet right now and come. I want to meet you right here. Come on. Come on. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anybody around you. They're not going to stand before God in your place. You are. You are. You're going to stand there before God and give an account for your life. Come on. Give Jesus a chance. He said, try me. He said, test me. Come, we got workers down here that just want to pray with you and for you. We love you. Man, I love you. Ain't one of you here done anything bad enough for Jesus not to forgive. The only thing that He won't forgive is your unbelief. Unbelief's the only thing that'll send you to hell away from God. Come, because you want Jesus to be Lord of your life. Come on. There's some more of you out here. I know God's dealing with you. Man, you're struggling with it. You're struggling with it. He wants to make a difference in your life. He wants you to know that He's in love with you. He died for you. He went to hell in your place so that you could have life tonight. Come. Come. Just kneel down. And they're going to pray with you. They're going to pray with you so that you can say, Jesus, come into my heart tonight. I surrender totally to you. I give my life to you, Jesus. I give my life. Lord, if I fall down, pick me back up. I want to make it. Lord, I want to make it. I want to have peace in my life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The rest of you, if you would, if you're sitting there, just pray. Bow your head and just pray for these that have come. This is the most important decision they'll ever make in their life. Bar none. This is it. It's time to surrender totally. When the enemy comes at you, say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you, God, for these souls that are surrendering to Christ. Lord, making Jesus Lord of their lives. and ask you to touch them, Father. God, they need that miracle. The greatest miracle in the world is having our sins forgiven and walking in the kingdom of God. Do a work in there. I protect them, Father. Put a hedge around them to protect them. Father God, that they can walk in you. In Jesus' name.
With our heads still bowed, you're down here tonight at the altar, and it's the first time you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life. Would you slip up your hand real quickly? This is the first time. God bless you. Anyone else, real quickly, this is the first time I've ever asked Jesus to come in my life. Some are praying. While our musicians softly play, you're still sitting there. Have you done what God wants you to do? You've heard a plain as invitation as can be given. But you put it off. The easiest thing in the world to say is, I'll do it later. That's one of Satan's biggest ploys.
Yeah.
Would you come right now?
Hallelujah.
Like these, you would stand up, come to the front, and say, I want to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you come?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Our personally Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these. Father, you know each of our hearts. We can con a lot of folks, but we never con you. And so, Father, tonight, we know that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Just one. And we've got more than one down here tonight. We thank you for that. Fathers, we're dismissed. Bless those that are still counseling and working. We'll reopen our refreshment bar. Pray that they'll put up their Bibles and silently slip out. Thank you for the message. Thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. And he still saves in 2016. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Take
Amen.
Your Bibles to the back.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.